What else is on your hearts today, brothers? We just did a verse by verse, and we study, and we talked about that. But what is going on in the life of followers of the Most High? Today, Sister Amin and I traveled. We witnessed, worked online, and we're getting ready, finding a location for our next preach this weekend. But God just keeps filling up our plate. Lots of people looking for questions to be answered and discipling and discernment all over the world. So it's pretty awesome. And we're thankful to be workers of God and to know some true brethren striving. What's going on in your guys' hearts and minds today? Anything to share? What do you want to talk about? I got a couple things, but I'll let you guys go first.
Oh, you can go, brother. Oh, okay. I don't know. I guess I was thinking about a lot about like warfare today and how when people sign up for like the army, I was thinking a lot about that verse where it's no man entangleth himself with the affairs of this world. And like war, good warfare, that kind of a thing. And I was like, when people sign up for the army, they basically sign their life away. I mean, that's what Christ is expecting out of you, is signing on the dotted line, basically, okay, you're going to give up this, and you give all that up, and then you don't get any vacations in the army, so I don't see why people, like worldly Christians, are out in the world enjoying, like, festivals and all this stuff. If you're conscripted, if you're in the army, I don't know, I was just thinking a lot about how it relates to, like, the real world for me, and like, wow, yeah, you're fighting every day at, like, boot camp, they, like, whip you into shape kind of a thing, and I'm like, the Lord does the same thing, and there's a lot of similarities with that, so.
Amen. Amen, that's so true.
What happens to soldiers who disobey direct orders?
Yep.
Yeah, I've asked, got something in my throat. I've asked military men how many disorders or disobeying orders do they get before they get tossed out, and it's like, very few. They get thrown in the brig. They get thrown in jail.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was going to bring up something. Hopefully I can talk here. I think a bug went down the wrong pipe, if I could say that, unfortunately. I was thinking today, I was talking to Brother Kuo at lunchtime, and we talked about what you focus on magnifies. I wanted to raise that up here. So, could be your flesh, could be a female worker that bugs you or tempts you. Could be a male worker that makes you angry. Could be anything. And it could be a sickness, an illness. And I think it talks about, it's pointing to like what Paul is talking about. Set your mind on things above. Focus on Christ. But talk about that, brothers. Think about that. What you focus on magnifies. What do you think of that?
I think of Psalm 1, where we're supposed to meditate on the Word all the time.
Yeah, and magnify God in all things, and lift Him up in His Word, and let Him be everything. And not, there's a verse, let me look it up. I let you guys share your thoughts while I look up a verse.
I also, of course, think of Philippians 4:8 or the mental test.
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great one. Focus on, why don't you read that for us, Philippians 4:8.
I'll pull that up in just a second.
That was one of my life verses as a new believer. It really helped me through, me and Sister Amin, through a lot of things.
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Yeah, amen. So that was kind of my whole thought process on that was, think about that. Whatever you're focusing on every day, and Brother Crew and I were talking about, if you wake up and you go, I'm not going to sin today. I'm not going to sin. 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 Brother Kevin, if you go to work, what might happen?
All you're going to be thinking about is what not to do, and then you're just going to be led right to it. Just
you're kind of setting yourself up for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's
I'm not
much better to say I'm going to pray for my brother while I can't think of something else to think about, or I'm going to work on memorizing a scripture verse.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to listen to scripture. Yeah. Or I'm going to think of something to bring to the body, or I'm thinking about what my post will be tonight, or any of those other dozen things, or what verse should I read next to put up on my website.
Amen. Amen. Good point. Walking in the Spirit, doing ministry, edifying others. And ready? If you're struggling in your own flesh, one of the great ways to overcome it is pour out to other people. Start giving more, whether it's the gospel, giving to brethren, pouring out at your websites, whatever it is, start pouring more and more out. It's a good way for God to work in us and not just sit around focusing on our own flesh or our own proclivities. Let Christ rise up in us and let's focus on him. Get the mind of Christ. Make sense?
Yeah. The best
more blessed to give than receive.
Amen. Amen.
The best way to get over your own problems is to consider the struggles of others, and then your own become really small, really fast.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And then
I found that verse. Sorry.
Nope.
I found that verse I was looking for, thinking about what you focus on, you kind of magnify.
Yeah.
And what jumped into my mind was you can magnify people and the enemies of God and looking at people's reactions and the flesh and all of that. And there's this verse in Jeremiah 1:17 where God tells the prophet, "Thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them." If we magnify, for example, and focus on people instead of on God, it can cause us to stumble and it can cause us. If we magnify and focus on a sin, it'll magnify that sin and cause us to stumble. But we shouldn't look at that. We should look at God or we'd be confounded.
Amen. That's a great point. When I street preach, I always focus. I always pray before I go out. I'm preaching to God. I'm preaching for him. I'm preaching for his glory. Hey, if there's a seeker there that appreciates it, we're there to edify them. But it don't matter if anybody's there. I'm preaching for him. And that changes, that's kind of changed the whole way I street preach. Because it's all for the Lord, not for people.
Amen.
Brother Patrick, would you talk about what you and I talked about today? This is the other thing I want to bring up, but I want you to talk about it. Fleeing sin versus overcoming sin. I love that.
Yeah, it's a thought I've been thinking about lately. How to resist the devil. The scripture tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you, and overcoming sin and resisting him and fleeing sin. And scripture tells us to flee sin. I think a good example I have of that would be Joseph. We all know the example of Joseph was put in a situation where he was basically asked to commit sin, and he turned and he fled and even left his clothes there, or his cloak, his robe, and he just completely fled. But if you stop and consider it for a minute, a bit, he had to overcome his flesh so that he could flee that sin. He couldn't just flee from it, because if he hadn't overcome it in himself, then there's no way he would have fled from it. He would have succumbed to it.
Right.
The same way with all of the temptations we meet, you have to flee sin, and you have to flee and run away from it and run away from the situations and from things that stumble you. But it's not enough to do that. You actually have to overcome it. And that's how you overcome and resist and flee sin. You don't just run away from the situations, or else, like Brother Tupos was saying in his teaching, go be a monk in a cave in the wilderness, because you're never going to get out of the world, right?
Yeah.
Paul tells us that too. Like, we're in the world, we're not of it. Like, you can't not ever meet harlots and cursors and all of those people, because then you must needs go out of the world.
Right.
But they're there, and you have to overcome your flesh and the sin, and then flee sin because you've overcome it.
Yeah, I think that's great. I like the concept of that, and I like saying this, like when it comes to temptations, yeah, flee them if you can. You run and get out of the situation if you can, or you get out of the way, get out of it. Then there's going to be those times when you can't flee it, like we can't get out of the world, or it may be a job situation. Until I get a different job, I got to deal with this. Then that's when you got to realize I need to overcome. And so it's easy to flee sometimes. It's usually easier to flee than overcome. But a lot of times just fleeing doesn't really solve the problem, does it? We also have to overcome. So we flee every appearance of evil, but we also have to overcome evil because we're not going to avoid all of it. So I thought that concept was really good, that we need to definitely practice, yes, fleeing when we have to flee, and then also whether it's temptation or hatred or lust or old habits or whatever, we've got to overcome them. And we overcome them by walking in Christ, doing ministry, setting our mind on things above, seeking to apprehend the kingdom. All those things help us overcome. Yeah. Those are kind of the two things I wanted to bring. Brother Kevin, what do you want to share tonight on this open forum here?
I was just going to bring a question.
A question? I love questions. How much are questions tonight? Oh, they're free. They're always free.
Is there any scriptural... I know Pharaoh is an example, but are there any good examples in scripture where people become more resistant to repentance with time? Is that scripturally true, or is that just something that I observe in the world?
Wait, so frame your question again. So we know about Pharaoh. So Pharaoh first hardened his heart, and then God, I love that part where God says, I know he won't let my people go. So we know God knows the future. And so God says, he's never going to change. Now I'm going to use him for a vessel of wrath. And you want a hardened heart? I'll show you what a hardened heart is. And God turned him over to harden it even more. So what is your question, though, brother, specifically?
In general, do people get harder with time if they stay in sin longer?
That's a good question. That's like a really open-ended question. The one that comes to mind to me is Revelation, where people are living in the tribulation and God's pouring out his bowls of wrath. And before Christ comes back, the men, the free men, the kings, the bondman, everyone saying, rocks hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They're not softened up by even the wrath of God that's coming and pouring out on the earth. They're hardened hearts more and more and more, and they're not brought to repentance. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Would this tie into that Romans 1, basically? Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And then he goes on and says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
Yeah. Yeah. Brother Kuo, any thoughts on this before I kind of give some more thoughts on it?
The verse that came to mind for me was searing the conscience.
Yeah.
I know there's a verse about searing the conscience and then like quenching the spirit. I know you can do that as well.
Yeah.
Just like stomping down your conscience to the point of like you have no heart for anything anymore.
Yeah. I think there's a couple things you can read. You can go read Hebrews 6, where it talks about those that have tasted and they've turned away. It's impossible to bring them back to repentance. So that would be obviously somebody that's hardened their heart against the things of God. 2 Timothy 3, 2 Timothy 4, Paul talks about the last days when people have all the appearance of all those things, but they're no longer following God, or they are living in so much sin. I don't think you're going to find like a scripture verse that says that they're hardened over time, but the concept and the example is definitely there. Like, let's talk about the nation of Israel in the desert. Over time, they just got seemingly worse and worse, and God said, you're not going in. And so I think the concept is there, brother, when even though you can't find one verse that says over time their hearts were hardened, we see a lot of examples of people, if they don't come, they're going to be either turned over, like Patrick said in Romans 1, or they may sear their own conscience and no longer. I mean, because the more you sin and the deeper you get in sin and the longer you deny the truth of Christ, you can sear your conscience off.
There's another verse here that I think would tie into this. Ephesians 4:17-19, he says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And then he says this that I think ties in. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness.
Yeah.
When you look up the word feeling, it's basically to become callous, insensible to pain, apathetic. So, yeah, I guess it does seem to be a thing that if people, through the blindness and ignorance, repeatedly reject God, it gets to the point where they get past feeling and it would take something really serious to wake them up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Again, I don't think there's one verse that states it plainly, but I think the concept is all over Scripture. How about 1 Corinthians 1:18? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. A lot of times, you know, if you preach the same message or preach the gospel to people over and over, they can get more hardened hearts. They can. We've seen that. With friends and family, and they get more and more hardened to it because they don't want it, and the more they hear it, the more they don't want it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're enemies of God. That's a good question, brother. I would say, again, the concept is there. There's a danger to not obey God and to keep holding him off. He may turn you over. Patrick read Romans 1. And then we see in the last days that most people are going to be so angry about God, hate God so much, Satan is going to blind their eyes. Paul talks about that the God of this world has blinded their eyes by the culture, by the media, by philosophy, like Brother Kuhl was talking about. So all of that can add up to where people can basically, there's no way for them to find their way back. It also comes down to, remember, no one comes unless the Father calls them. Right? We all agree with that?
Yeah.
What if the Father calls somebody over and over and over and over and over, and then the Father knows, you and I don't know, they're never going to come? Is there not the chance that he may stop calling?
Yeah.
That's being turned over. That's no more opportunity because he knows they're never going to come. He knows the beginning from the end. So, yeah, people will get hardened hearts from the truth. Absolutely. I think that isn't that why we're going to be hated and killed and persecuted? If the more we preached, it got better, it would be the opposite. But the more we preach, the more people hate. I think you're going to find that. I've learned that. That the more I preach, the more I witness, the more I street preach, the more haters I get.
Hey, would this be an example of that? Hang on, where is it here? A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he is such a subverteth in sin, is being condemned of himself.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if somebody holds on to false doctrine long enough, there's no repentance, you turn them over, no longer calling to them, God may turn them over.
They're basically somebody that subverteth they're subverted. There's somebody who's, yeah.
Let the blind lead the blind in the ditch, Jesus said. That's what your problem is with a lot of the modern pastors and a lot of modern churchgoers. They love what they have. They're itchy ears. They don't want to hear nothing else, that there's no longer a conviction going on. That's when you want to stop witnessing to them. There's no conviction. They don't love the Word of God. They don't want the Word of God. Don't cast your pearls.
Yeah.
Don't cast your pearls. Good question, brother. How about you, Brother Kuo? As I got a train going by, what's on your heart and mind? What did you want to talk about tonight? Any questions, any insights, any struggles? Any rejoicing, any victories?
Basically, what I was going over in work was just like different situations for witnessing, and that was good to keep my mind on. That was good, pure and true, and thought about that, similarities to warfare, and was thinking about writing a post about that. And then got off, went downtown. I that's pretty much my day. I don't have any questions or anything that came up through that.
You went down to go around and talking to people, and you found some different approaches, and you said that kind of opened some doors with what you were handing out gospel cards and talking to people.
I did start using the
kind of a warning you were talking about.
Yeah, avoid, sorry, my head's a little bit slow, avoiding wrath. And Jesus is coming back. Like that seemed more effective than how are you doing today, sir?
Yeah.
Would you like some
warning?
News?
Warning them of judgment to come. That's a good thing. That's loving your neighbor.
Right.
Yeah, because judgment is coming. Hey, how about this topic? When you guys go out and you're talking to people, should you not always be audio recording, no matter what? No matter if you're going to use it anywhere. Why would we do it no matter what, even if we're not going to use it anywhere?
For security.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, so you can learn from it and do better. And
yep.
You gave another answer earlier today.
Yep. And what else, Patrick?
In case they lie, which they do,
yep.
That you have evidence that you didn't say what you didn't say.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, you somebody comes walking up to you, if you got gospel signs, you turn your audio on, and you say, hey, how can I help you today? And then when the police show up because they got mad, you can say, they walked up to me. What are they mad about? They came up to me. And so it's just wise as a serpent, gentle as doves. You want to have that audio going all the time. In this culture, we have the technology. It's just wise to do that. To have it going. I use a body cam when I go out, and it does help. It actually helps with mockers, too. You'll get people to get in your face, and then you remind them, sir, you're on video. That doesn't look good at all. And they go, oh, and they look at the camera. Most mockers, it at least is like, it backs them down because they don't want to be seen on video doing what they're doing. So it's kind of holding them accountable in the light, not let them operate in the darkness. I like that.
Yeah, and it really helps grow and improve you to listen to you witnessing to people and seeing what you can say better, what you should respond to better, how
Amen.
To improve things. It's very helpful for that.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff. All right, anything else before we close out? We've had a good, good evening of edification together. Anything else? Any last thoughts? Nothing. Good. We've all said what we wanted to say. Thanks for all your time, brothers. God was glorified, and people will be edified as they hear thoughts, concepts, scripture, questions. It's all good. Write them down. Think of them. I want to bring up one last thing. Write things down. Record things. Make notes. Unless you're a computer and you have a photographic memory, God gives you a thought. Hey, I think I'm going to do this. If you don't write it down by the end of your day, what's a good chance going to happen?
Gone.
I have a note thing in my phone, or I tell Sister Amen while I'm driving, hey, put this down in the note thing for me, please. She puts it down for me. Our master said many times, it is written. Remember to write stuff down for your remembrance, and that will help you to stay organized, keep you on task. It will give you more things to ask, more things to add, more things to offer, all of that. So that's a good note for a street minister, to anybody, any Christian. Write things down so you can go back and study it. You can capture it, and you can set your mind on it, okay? All right, brothers. Love you in the Lord. God be praised.